apologies to the crowd that listens in at home. Last week, I think I said that it was the 50th recording for Megillah, but something went wrong with the recording, so we don't have the recording. So if you're listening in at home, you missed a shiur in the middle. But I think I'll keep the numbering consecutive, so it doesn't get too confusing.
Was it 50 or 51?
That's it. I don't remember now at this point. This is either 50 or 51. I think this is 51, which is really 52, because 51 is missing.
Future generations are going to be very confused. I'm trying to understand.
So just to go back a half an inch, the bottom of Kuf Tet Omer Aleph is the Mishnah about the Arba Parshiot. Rosh Chodesh Adar Chaliot B'Shabbat Korin B'Parashat Shkalim. Chaliot B'Tocha Shabbat B'Tocha Shavua Makdimin L'Sheavar. You do Parshat Shkalim on the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh if the Shabbat does not actually come out on Rosh Chodesh. U'Mafsikin L'Shabbat Acheret. B'Shniya Zachor B'Shlishit Para Aduma B'Revi'it Achodesh Zilachem B'Chamishit Chozrin Lekesidran. Now this question is, what does it mean, Chozrin Lekesidran? Do we mean we go back to not having special parashiot? When you have a special parasha, what changes?
You should have Torah Matir.
I'm sorry, say again?
Matir Haftarah.
In other words, the special reading becomes the Maftir, and the Haftarah is connected to the Maftir. Whenever there's a special kriya, the Haftorah is thematically, you know, this idea that the Haftorah is somehow always thematically linked to the kriya. So the witches is always thematically linked to the second sefer, or the third sefer, in those occasions where there are three sefer Torah. You know what happens when there are three sefer Torah?
When?
Do you know what happens when there's three sefer Torah?
In terms of
the
order?
The holy religion.
I mean, like what? Last
one is Matir.
No, more important. More important. You're a Gabbai, right?
Yeah,
so that stays with you. A regular Shabbos, you go to shul, there's one Sefer Torah, you go home, you make Kiddush, you have lunch, and what do you eat? A kugel. When it's Shabbos or Chodesh and you take out two Sefer Torah, you're supposed to have two kugels. And on the rare occasions, when you have three Sefer Torah, you need to have three kugels. Is this such a minig? I have no idea what this... Oh, there you are! We were getting nervous. What the source... It has something... I once heard, read somebody say something to do with the gematria of kugel and... Torah. I mean, the math doesn't work out no matter how you figure it out. And I tried looking it up again today, and I couldn't find what the reason is. Ta'amim min hagim, it doesn't mention this. So. You won't be surprised to hear that it makes appearance in an Agadon story about a certain gluttonous fellow named Fishel Karp, who was done in on Shabbos or Chodesh Chanukah, and it's only unclear if he expired between the potato kugel and the lakshin kugel, or between the lakshin kugel and the apple kugel. But there's such an idea. On one Shabbos, there's an Indian actually to have four kugels. No. On Parsha Zohar. On Parsha Zohar. Because how are you Timche Zech Amalek? You have to gobble up that Amalek. How do you gobble up Amalek? The four kugels. Apple, ayin for apple kugel. Mel for flour kugel. Lamed for lakshin kugel. And kuf for kartoffel kugel. Potato kugel. So if you have all four kugels on Parsha Zohar in that order, so that's how you wipe out Amalek. And it's amazing that we weren't wiped out first.
These cashews are meant to be eaten with the peel. They're special cashews with the pork. And that's what the guy says.
What? I'm sure in the Achilles Kugel Gilchasa, this is all explained. And I'd love this work. The Gemara asks, Minolan. I skipped ahead. There was this thing about Kiloyim, which we did. Minolan. What is the source? The second line on Amud Beis.
Yeah. What? I didn't bring that.
Minolan. Omar of Tavi. Of Tavi, listen. We appreciate the snacks, but...
No, it's just like...
No, but... Minolan. Omar of Tavi. Now, this Rav Tavi is going to keep coming back to us, so make sure you get it down clear what Rav Tavi says. What?
Minolan is part of the previous sentence, the end of the previous sentence.
Oh, you're right. Right, no, Ela Alashkali Minolan. Right? Ela Alashkali Minolan. How do you know that... In other words, it said, what do they do? Rosh Chodesh Av, they start announcing about Kiloyim, reminding people not to make Kiloyim in their gardens, and announcing about Shkalim. So Kiloyim, we understand, that's the season that people start the gardening. But why Shkalim? What's the connection between Shkalim and Rosh Chodesh Adar? So Omar of Tavi, remember of Tavi, he's going to come back. Omar Rebbe Yoshia, the Omar Kra, Zot Olot Chodesh Bechodesho. Omar Torah, Chadesh Vahave Korban Mitruma Chadasha. You have to renew the coffers in advance of the Chodesh HaRishon, which is Nisan. And just like in the hospital, you have a fiscal year, and the budget goes from year to year, and there are things that have to be on one year's budget or another year's budget. So the budget of the Beis HaMikdash runs from Rosh Chodesh Nisan to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That is the fiscal year in the Mikdash. So you need to replenish the coffers for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because all of the karbonot from Nisan until the end of the next Adar have to come from that budget. And since beginning from Nisan, you have to start sacrificing from the new budget. So therefore, a month before, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, we start reminding you, tax day is due. Start collecting. Gehechi deleitu shkalim lamikdash kiman. So this idea of bringing the shkalim to the mikdash at that time on Rosh Chodesh Adar, whose opinion is that the collection begins on Rosh Chodesh? In other words, if everybody has to pay up by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when should the collection begin? Yes, but when? It's like a svara, you're saying. Why? Why not Rosh Chodesh Shvat?
Well, everybody should say, it's too long. What do I need to worry about it now?
Because
everybody gets together for Purim, so at least you can announce it.
Yeah, but this is Rosh Chodesh, it's 2 weeks before Purim.
Okay.
So whose opinion is it that the appeal begins from Rosh Chodesh before? Delo Karaban Shimon Ben Gamliel. It's not like Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. De'i Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, de Omar Shtei Shabbatot. Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel says you should start 2 weeks before. Why? Because there's a different Gemara that we know. Where do we know this Gemara from? This Gemara we know from every bar mitzvah. If you skip ahead to Lamed Bey Zomer Aleph, to the end of the Masechta, which we're very much nearing, then you go to a bar mitzvah. When you were a kid, what Masechta did you make a siyum on at your bar mitzvah? None. You grew up in a religious community. Every kid in your class had a bar mitzvah. You went to every single bar mitzvah. You never heard of such a thing. Right? The kid gave it to my Torah, but the idea, now you go to bar mitzvahs and it's like everybody's making, we read a bar mitzvah, mind you, it was an Alon Shvut, where, you know, they set the bar higher. The kid made a siyum on two mesechtes. And not, I don't mean he made a siyum on Megillah or on Tanis, he made a siyum on, I think, Ksubis or something, in the Bavli, and in the Yerushalmi.
Too much time.
I mean, the girls make siyumim, the boys make siyumim.
The girls make it, because they don't have a... They don't read anything.
Oh. You're saying it's easy for them?
No, I'm saying what I
said. The Chesed project. So you go to bar mitzvah, unless you're going to these show-offs where they make a siyum on Ksubis and the Bavli and Yerushalmi. I'm sorry. Nedarim. We see him on the dark. So Megillah is a very popular. You came to my kid's bar mitzvah 8 years ago, 9 years ago. No. 8 years ago. Almost exactly. We see him on Megillah. The last piece in Megillah is this idea of Sholin Vidorshin Behilchos Achag Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag. Chazal made a takana that you should start studying the laws of each Chag a month in advance, 30 days in advance. So that's what you do. You come home from the Purim Suda. It's 30 days, and exactly 30 days is Leila Seder. So what do you do right after the Purim Suda? You open up the Rambam, Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, you open up the Mishnah Berurah to Hilchos Pesach, and you start learning the halachot. And your wife, your Yeshus Chayil, what does she do? She starts cleaning. I've seen you after the Purim Suda. This is not what you do. You start the next morning, bright and early. But 30 days of Lefnei Achag, you should be. But that is not the opinion of Rabbi Shimon.
Who says that learning the halachot is necessarily the same time period as collecting the Yerushalmi?
Well, in other words, the point is that you have to start getting ready. 30 days is the time period to get ready for the next. But you start making the announcement. Right. When do they start, you know, in shul? Everybody gives their dues lekach the yom nareim. Right? So Rosh Chodesh Elul, 1 month before Rosh Hashanah, when people are going to see Rosh Hashanah, they start with to reserve your seats from last year, all of those types of things. When do we start blowing shofar? 30 days before. 30 days is you get it going. But that is not the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Omer shtei shabbatot. Netanya. Sholim behilchot haPesach korban Pesach shloshim yom. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Amer shtei shabbatot. You don't need a month; you need only 2 weeks. So the person that says that you should start announcing about the machatzit shekel a month in advance, whose opinion is that? Well, clearly it is not Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says 2 weeks. Vafilu tamer Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But even if you want to say that it is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, how could you square Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's 2 week shita with a whole month? Kevan de Omar Mar bechamisha sarbo shulchanot yoshvin b'medina ubekafe yoshvin b'mikdash b'shum shulchanot kadminan v'karinan mai v'karinan v'karinan. You could fit in with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Why? Because on Rosh Chodesh, Adar, they remind everyone, Shkolim. And the remnant of that is that we still read Parshat Shkalim either on Rosh Chodesh Adar when it comes out on Shabbat, or very close to whatever the first Shabbat closest to Rosh Chodesh Adar is. So that's 30 days before. But even to Rabbi Shimon, he says, when do they start actually collecting? That's the announcement that it's coming up. But from the 15th of Adar An, meaning from Purim, they put out Shulchanot. What do? We put out Shulchanot. We put out those little boxes.
On the table.
On the table. Those Shulchanot that they would have, they would have Dukhanim all throughout the land. And those, what were those Shulchanot? They were like money changers.
Somebody had a problem with the money changers in the temple.
What?
There was somebody who had a problem with these money changers in the temple.
That's true.
I don't know the time period, but he also had something around Pesach time, so maybe this is connected to that story. I don't know the chronology.
So the money changers would change, so that you would have the three, you'd have the Chatzi Shekel. So that would start from, so what's 2 weeks before that? Rosh Chodesh. Meaning you can square it with either shita. We start on Rosh Chodesh because Shloshim Lefnei Chag Shel Vodazer, or even according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says it's 2 weeks, said it's 2 weeks from before the time that they actually start the collection. Umay Parashat Shkalim. And what is read for Parashat Shkalim? Rav Amar Tzav et Bnei Yisrael Ve'amar Talehem et Korbani Lachmi. What is that?
That's
his parsha. Right? Ushmul Amar Kitisa. What's that?
What we do.
What we actually do. What is the beginning of Parsha Kitisa?
The actual collecting of the Machatzit HaSekel.
The actual collecting. So Bishlam Alaman de Omar Kitisa. I understand the opinion that says Kitisa, which is, spoiler alert, actually the Halacha L'maisa. I knew the Korile Parshat Shkalim. In other words, what appears in Parshat Kitisa? No?
The concept of
the Shekel Shekel HaKodesh. What do we learn from the fact that it's called Shekel HaKodesh? What does the Ramban say about Shekel HaKodesh? The Heilige Shekel.
He has some like archaeological thing he found there about it.
Yeah, also he has that, but more essential for the work of Balashon. It's where the Ramban discusses why Ivrit is the Lashon HaKodesh. And he quotes the Rambam in the Monavuchim. The Rambam says, why is Ivrit Lashon HaKodesh?
No curse words.
He says, no dirty words. All the dirty words had to be imported from Yiddish or other languages. The Ramban describes the idea that there's some inherent Kedusha in Ivrit. Why? More than that. The language God speaks. So I understand the opinion that Parshat Shkalim is from Kitisa, because it talks about Shkalim. Dichtiv ba Shkalim. El alamand omer et korbani lachmi. But the opinion that says you read the stuff about Rosh Chodesh from Parshat Pinchas, hacha midei Shkalim ktivei. Where, like, what's the shaychus to Shkalim? Hatam, ktivi hatam. Ein ta'ama. Hachem ili Shkalim, ktivi hatam, ein ta'ama. Mai kid Rav Tavi. What did Rav Tavi say? What did Rav Tavi, I remember Rav Tavi 10 lines ago, I said he's going to come back? Why do we start reading Shkalim on Rosh Chodesh? To remind you that there's going to be another Rosh Chodesh? And what does Rosh Chodesh remind you? That the new the first month on Nisan, we need a new budget, so we need to have a new collection. So if you read about the Chodesh HaRishon, if you read about the Rosh Chodesh, that will remind you the next Rosh Chodesh is Nisan. For Nisan, we have to pay up the Shkalim, so we better do it.
One problem with it, though. I mean, I don't know. Is that Rosh Chodesh you anyway read that? How would you know there's anything with Rosh Chodesh anyway?
Well, as you know, from having looked ahead, the Gemara is going to say precisely that. It always amazes me how much investment everybody makes reading ahead, so you know the questions of the Gemara. My kedra bishlam alamando amart savet bnei Yisrael mishum dichtiv karbanot hatam kedra bitavi. So that makes sense for the opinion that we read about the Rosh Chodesh, and since Rav Tavi says reading about Rosh Chodesh reminds you about the Shkalim, so that works. El Laman Domer Kitisa Karbanot Miktivi. Right? In other words, but we turn the question around. In other words, if the point of reading about Rosh Chodesh is going to remind you that there is a Rosh Chodesh coming up and that Rosh Chodesh has the tax deadline and you better pay up, right? So then flip the question back. If it's about Kitisa, which talks about the Shkalim, so how do you know that it's about Karbanos?
Is that for the sake of Korbanot, or is that for the sake of the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash?
Or?
No, because if it's like Kitisa,
or
both.
Or?
Or neither.
Or a third thing.
Sentence.
No, that's not what, it's interesting, that's not one of
because
the,
if you go to court,
that's not one of the opinions here in the Gemara.
If you go to court to Kitisa, then that's saying, okay, you have to pay a chatzi shekel, but it's something to do with your Korbanot. The Korbanot are entirely separate. It has to do with the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. It has to do with the same way Kitisa, when they gave the shekel, it wasn't for the Korbanot. It was for the poles and the hooks and all the other stuff. Whereas if you tell me no, it's like Rosh Chodesh, it's like, no, I'm giving you a half a shekel, but that's for the daily Korbanot.
Yes, so you've just summarized exactly what the Gemara is saying here. Elamanda Omer Kitisa Korbanot Miktivi. If you say we're reading about Kitisa, there's no reference there to the Korbanot.
Why do the people need to know about the Korbanot?
Well, because that's what it's for.
Right, but it's not. I mean, they need to know to pay. They don't need to know what it's for.
That's true. We don't know where our tax money goes.
It's more important to remember that.
It's a good question. I think the Gemara assumes that it would be good if people knew what they were doing. Miktivi shkalim. La'adanim ktivi. Maybe we're talking about the adanim. You know what the adanim were?
The beams?
The bases. In other words, when they put up the yiriot around the Mishkan, so there were these poles, and the poles made, from the poles, they hung across a beam, and they hung down the curtains. What held those beams up? They're these big sockets. And the pole went into the socket. So one of the shkalim, one of the times shkalim is mentioned, is there to talk about these adanim. Because Tani Rav Yosef, shalosh trumot hein. Shall mizbeach le mizbeach, v'shel adanim le adanim, v'shel bedek habayit le bedek habayit. Right? In other words, there are three times the word shkalim is mentioned here in Kitisa. What's the pasuk? Ze yitnu kol ha'over al ha'pikudim machatzit ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh, esrim geira ha'shekel machatzit ha'shekel truma l'ashem. That, says Rav Yosef, is the chatzi shekel for the adanim. I don't know if it means only the adanim or for all of the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash, but he says adanim. So the next pasuk, kol ha'over al ha'pakudim mi'ben esim shana v'mala yiten trumat Hashem. Ha'ashir lo yarbev ha'dal lo yamit mi'machatzit ha'shekel ha'teta trumat Hashem l'chaper ad nafshotechem.
Where are these pasukim included?
From Kitisa.
No, where you put, it's not in the Gemara.
No, but he says that's what the three shkalim are. The three references. One is to the adanim, one is to the bedek habayit, and one is to the mizbeach, meaning to the karbonot. What's our minog? How many chatzi shkalim do we give?
Three.
The three chatzi shkalim that we give on Tanis Esther are for these three chatzi shkalim. Right, one for the adanim, one for the structure, one for the bedek habayit, you know, which is just, I guess, they, you know, you have to pay the gas bill, you have to pay the electricity bill, you have to. Nobody ever wants to make that donation. You know, like you run a big shul. One of the budget items is toilet paper. You know, it's not like Russia. You go to Russia. Remember when I went to Russia? They told me you have to carry toilet paper with you because no public. Not in school, not in shul, not in if you have to go to the bathroom in a restaurant, they don't give toilet paper. Everybody has to carry it on their own. But in most normal places, you get toilet paper. What's the toilet paper budget in Shari Tzedek? It must be rather significant.
Do you know when you used to have to pay an old lady to
yes, in certain public, and just to give you a ticket.
And also get cheaper toilet paper.
Yeah.
And it's places that still exist.
Yeah. I mean, that bathroom under the walkway in the old Tachana Merkazit, which was always it was like the cleanest bathroom in Yerushalayim. Right? Yeah. Under the Rehov Yafa. It was an extremely clean bathroom, but you'd have to pay that old...
Nobody
that old guard, yeah, to
it's
give
it
a...
Not that you would go to do that business there.
Right. Right.
Just in case.
But
the problem with those papers, you can't put a plaque on a piece of paper.
Right, so whatever, I mean, can you check for us what the budget item for insurance tipping is over? It must be hundreds of thousands of shkalim a year. I mean, how many people are on any given day, how many people, patients and staff, pass through Shari Tzedek?
Probably 3,000-4,000.
Everyone uses the bathroom at least once. That's a lot of toilet paper. You can't get somebody to donate the toilet paper. That's called bedek habayit. You need an operating budget. Bishlam alamanda omar kitisa hainu Dishani. So if you're reading Kitisa, if it's Rosh Chodesh, and you're reading Kitisa, so then the reading itself is distinct, is different, Dishani. And you read Kitisa, and everybody is going to remember, oh, we have to give the Shkalim. But as David correctly anticipated, no, in all cases, if Rosh Chodesh comes about, and it's going to happen a certain percentage of the time that Rosh Chodesh is going to come out on Shabbat. I lost my place.
It happens so infrequently that when you do this, you realize that there's a double meaning.
The high Rosh Chodesh, Mishar Rosh Chodesh, Dishani high Rosh Chodesh, Mishar Rosh Chodeshim. Right? So, in other words, when you have Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Shkalim, you take out three Sefer Torah. Whatever the Parsha is, Rosh Chodesh, and Kitisa. But according to the opinion that the reading for Shkalim is the same as the reading for Rosh Chodesh, Seder, but you don't have to take out two Sefer Torah, but it wouldn't be distinct. The effect of having that reading, you can understand that people would assume that this is the reading for Rosh Chodesh. And whether you'd have to read it once, you'd read it twice.
But if you read it twice, it's already distinctive by itself.
But the content is the same.
But you're reading something twice.
Say it, so maybe you're reading Rosh Chodesh twice. But there's nothing distinct that reminds you that this is for Shkalim. But if you read Ki Tisa, you know it's for Shkalim. Why? Because it's got the word Shkalim all over it. But Rav Tavi's opinion that you read about Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh is going to remind you of the special Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and that's going to remind you have to give Shkalim. Chad Gadyo. It's a lot of steps in between there. Mm-hmm. Right? You see the strings, the blue strings remind you of the sea reminds you of the sky reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod, reminds you of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? There's a lot of steps going on here. Elo Lamanza Omer Tzavet Korbani Mai Shani. But according to the opinion that the special reading for Parsha Shkolim is the same as the reading for Rosh Chodesh, how is that distinct? Shani De'ilu Rosh Chodeshim Karu Shita. Be'inyana diyoma. V'chad de'berosh chodesh. V'ilu ha'idna kulu de'berosh chodesh. So because it's not like the way it is. It's not what we imagine it to be. It doesn't look, Parsha Shkalim, the Gemara suggests, it doesn't look like the way we do it. On a regular Shabbos or Shchodesh, what do you do? Right? It's Parsha, this week, we don't have Shabbos, we have Rosh Chodesh on... Friday. So Thursday night is already the Nun Tug, the 9 days. But when Shabbos comes out on Rosh Chodesh, what do? You take out the regular Kriyas HaTorah, you read six people from the regular Kriyas HaTorah, and the seventh Aliyah is for Rosh Chodesh, which is also not the way that we do it. But when it's the four parshiot, the four parshiot preempt the regular laming, says the Gemara. This is not what we do. But when it comes time for Parsha Shkalim, you skip whatever that week's parsha would be.
And you read it seven times.
And you read the special Aliyah seven times. So on a regular Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you read the Parsha Shavuah, and then you read Rosh Chodesh. But on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Shkalim, it's obviously going to be different. Why? Because you just keep reading Shkalim again and again and again. Right? And that Shkalim again and again and again is Rosh Chodesh. So that's what's going to be distinct. Then people will know that it's Parshat Shkalim. It's interesting. The Gemara calls the regular Parsha Shavua Inyana Diyoma. It's kind of counterintuitive. Normally, what do we call Inyana Diyoma? Yeah, like this, like the special thing. Like if now we were to have a shiur about instead of learning Sefer Megillah, if we had a shiur tonight about the 3 weeks or Tisha B'Av, we would say it's Inyana Diyoma, right? But here, the Inyana Diyoma is the thing that's actually not the Inyan. What's the Inyan Idioma? What would we call the Inyan Idioma in this case? We would call it Parsha Shkolim. But the Gemara uses the exact opposite. The regular weekly Sidra is the Inyan Idioma. Why is that? Well, because it is. In the Jewish world, that's what the Parashat HaShavua is. The Parashat is like what organizes our conversation. Like everybody this week, like no matter where you go, what are people talking about?
The
Mondia. No, Matot Masse. It's a hard week because you have to pack in both parashiyot. You're on the bus, people are talking about Matot Masse. Right? You're hanging around the hospital, Rachmana Litzlan, right? In the waiting room, people are talking about Matot Masse. It's like what organizes the Jewish conversation.
It wasn't only a Jewish conversation in the waiting room.
Baruch Hashem, the Shabbos, go ahead. In other words, that's what the Gemara imagines the parasha is meant to do.
Or it could just be that maybe, I mean, I'm not sure, but maybe Nanaziyoma just means the reading of that day, which would be. I'm not sure it necessarily has a connotation of the topic of the day, but just the reading of the day.
You're taking away from my nice word.
That's true.
Vilu ha'itna, but on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Shkalim, kulu b'derosh Chodesh. Right? You would just read that, the Aliyah from Parshat Pinchas again and again and again and again. Ha'nicha, so that makes sense, l'man d'omar l'seder parashiyot hu chozer. L'man d'omar l'seder haftarot hu chozer, u'parashata d'yoma karinan. So that only makes sense according to the Shita that reads the Mishnah. How do we read the Mishnah? What did the Mishnah say? You stopped for the Parshat Shkalim or Parshat Zachor or Parshat Chodesh. Uvechamishit chozrin lekesidran. So what is we understood chozrin lekesidran? How do we experience chozrin lekesidran?
We go to the normal haftarah.
You go back to the normal haftarahs, right? You know, like in the back of the book. The back of the Chumash, it has the haftarot, but then it has like the haftarot that get preempted. Like this past week, there's the haftarah for Pinchas, which we didn't read, and there's the haftarah for when it's the Gimel de Puraniyut. Whether or not Pinchas, sometimes Pinchas falls out before Shivasa Batamas, sometimes after Shivasa Batamas. Right? The same thing with the Shabbos Chanukah. Although Miketz, I think.
It's most times, but not
almost every time Miketz is Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos Chanukah, but there's a haftorah for Miketz which we almost never read. It's like once every 19 years or something, that the calendar works out that way.
Or even Shabbat Agadol.
Or the Arba Parshiot.
No, but
right?
then we don't have any Masha. We have a different.
We have a different haftorah for Shabbos Agadol, right? Depending on when it comes out. And for the Arba Parshiot, so as you go back to the normal haftorah. That's the way we experience it. But what's the other possibility? You go back to the regular Parsha. That's according to the Shita that on the Arba Parshiot, the Arba Parshiot preempt the entire Kriyas HaTorah. So then you go back to the regular Kriyas HaTorah. And on that Parsha, what are we going to do? We're going to read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh 7 times. And then it'll be distinct. So that only makes sense according to the opinion that that the whole Parsha is preempted. But if what we're talking about is, in fact, the Halacha Lamaisa, that it's the Haftorah that's preempted and not the regular parasha, so how does that work out? In what way is it distinct? It goes back to being just the Haftorah. And if it's just the Haftorah, there's no way to understand that this is for Shkalim. It's the same reading. There's no way to distinguish is this for Shkalim or is this for Rosh Chodesh. So Bishlamanda Marki No, wait, I keep losing my place.
Karina
Maishno as a shani de ilu rosh chadashim karushita binyane de yoma vechad kare de berosh chodesh ve ilu haidna kare tlata binyane de yoma ve arba'a kare berosh chodesh. So that would also be distinct, right?
So
it's
often.
Right.
They would notice it because they're reading it more often than
right,
usual.
Right. So Meitve Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechol Liot B'Shabbat Korin B'Parshat Shkalim U'Maftirim B'Yehodaya HaKohen. That's from Malachim Beis. What happens in that parak of Malachim Beis? They do the Shkalim. That is the Haftor for Parshat Shkalim. So Bishlam Alaman Domer Kitisa. So in other words, what the Haftorah has to be connected to what? The maftir. How come we don't take out a second sefer Torah every day? On Pesach, we have one reading which is connected to Nyan Edioma about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And the second sefer, what do we read? Whatever the musaf for that day is. And on all of the chagim. Right, there's one kriya which is somehow connected to the larger themes of the day, mm-hmm. And the second sefer is you read whatever the korban was. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do that every Shabbat?
There's musaf is too small to get some matter.
Because the musaf is
too small, not enough to king to get some matter.
Save it. You could add.
That's the reason. It's because the korban is only two psukim. Otherwise, you would have to do every...
Well, we saw this when we were talking about how many... Right. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's because you'd have to read the same Haftorah every week. Because the Haftorah has to be thematically linked to that the Maftir. And if we read every Shabbat of the year, we read the Maftir for Shabbat...
But that's actually not true, because there's times, as we pointed out, there are times when you have a different, where you don't have a different Maftir. The Maftir is not from Parshat, his Maftir is from Parshat Shavua, and the Haftorah is not thematically related, it's like Shabbat Gadol, or the 3 weeks, whatever. There's no different Maftir. This past week we have a different Maftir.
Yeah.
And it wasn't thematically related to the Maftir.
Yeah,
it was related to design.
That's true.
But
nevertheless, Mishnah Berurah says that if there was a special, it could be that there are special Shabbatot that don't have a Maftir, but there's a special theme of the Haftorah.
If
there's a special Sefer Torah, so then the Haftorah has to be connected to that.
Except on Chag, is the Haftorah of Chag related to the Maftir, or it's related to the...
Well, it is, because the Maftir is about...
About
Pesach. It is about Shavuot. It is
by definition. It's like already a...
Well, it's usually the same Maftir you read all the time, but the Chag just changes the content with regard to what the Korban is.
Say it, but apparently the idea that we would read the same Haftorah every week was...
Ah, but what about Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh Hanukkah?
You
don't do the Maftir from Musa, so it's not required the Maftir be Musa.
Yeah, but on a regular Shabbat, how would you do it?
There isn't a requirement the Maftir would have to be from the... There's no requirement in Shmuel that the Maftir be from the... The Maftir has to be from the Korban. You're saying like...
No, but on a Hanukkah there is no Korban.
No, but on Shabbat was Chodesh Hanukkah. If it falls out, the Maftir is not from...
The Maftir is from Hanukkah.
Which means there's no obligation... That on a regular Shabbat, you also have to have a Maftir from Musaf, because on that Shabbat, you don't have Rosh Chodesh, and the Maftir not from Rosh Chodesh, it's from Chanukah.
It's true, there are so many exceptions to what I just said, that it makes me almost think that it's not correct what I just said. But it is, in fact, true that the Mishnah Berurah says, if we were to read the Maftir from the Korban Musaf of Shabbat every week, that would mean that the Haftorah would have to be the same every week.
But it also slightly begs the question, because the determination that the Haftorah had to be related to the Maftir could have been a different... The determination could have been that the Haftorah has to be related to Parsha, that the Maftir is relevant to it.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
So Meisvei, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, Korin B'Parshat Shkalim U'Maftirim B'Yehodaya HaKohen, Bishlam Alaman De'Omar Kitisa. So that makes sense if you say that the special reading is from Kitisa. How does that connect to the Parasha of Yehodaya HaKohen? Because this one's giving Chatzi Shekel, that one's giving Chatzi Shekel. Hainu De'Maftirim B'Yehodaya HaKohen De'Dame Lei D'Chtiv Kesef Nefashot Archu. Because you see the thematic connection. Parsha Kitisa says, give the Chatzi Shekel. And what do they do in Melachim Beis? They give the Chatzi Shekel. Ela lamanda omar et korbani lachmi midomi. But if you read the regular reading from Parshas Pinchas, which according to Rav Tavi also contains the message of Shkalim, because it reminds you there's an upcoming Rosh Chodesh, and you'll remember that Rosh Chodesh is Nisan, and it will remind you, give the Chatzi Shekel. So why are you reading Yehodaya HaKohen? In other words, you should really be reading something about... What? Something about Rosh Chodesh. So Kidder Rav Tavi. So you have to answer like Rav Tavi. Rav Tavi has to say that talking about Shkalim and talking about Rosh Chodesh is essentially the same thing. When you talk about Rosh Chodesh, you're talking about Shkalim. It's a bit of a stretch. So Meisvei, Chaliot b'parsha hasmuchala, ben milfaneho, ben milachareho. So if Parshat Kitisa, if Parshat Shkalim comes out, and this happens, those Parshat Kitisa usually falls out around and normally we take out two Sifrei Torah or three Sifrei Torah. I mean, you know, there's shuls that don't have this, of course. So you roll the Sifrei. Why do we take out more than one Sifrei Torah? Huh? What? Kavanat Tzibur, Tichud Tzibura, right? It's easier to have it than to have to roll it. Although, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Of course, you have the whole Hagbun and Glila, right? But generally speaking, it's more mechubad to have a separate Sifrei Torah. But if Parshat Shkalim comes out on Parshat Kitisa, I don't know.
I've noticed it's so close, it could have happened, I don't ever remember, it's often Vayakel Pekudei or something, I was wondering, it could have actually happened, but he
says whether it comes out on that Shabbat or Shabbat, one Shabbat before, one Shabbat after, right, maybe it's easier just to roll it. Korinoto ukoflinoto. So, but if, what do you do? So in other words, you know, it's like the Mishnah in Brachot. You're reading in the Torah, and you have to do Kriyat Shema. In other words, you're reading the Parasha of Shema, and can you kill two birds with one stone? Let's say you're a Sofer, and you're writing the Mezuzah. What's the Mezuzah? It's Kriyat Shema. So can you get two for one? Can you recite the Shema as you're writing it and also fulfill the mitzvah Kriyat Shema? Well, it depends a little on Kavona over there. So here, if it's Parshat Kitisa, so Rishon is going to be what? The same thing. So do you read Rishon and then Sheni and then Shlishi? You have that whole long Aliyah. What's the longest Aliyah of the year?
Is
the Levi of Parshat Kitisa, which deals with? Chetegel. It's the longest single. There are aliyot, I think, where it's doubled up, which is different. But as a regular aliyah, it's the longest aliyah there. So then you get to the end, and now it's time for what? Parshat Shkalim. We just read Parshat Shkalim. Right. So the Gemara says you go back and you read it again, because the first time you read it, it was for Kitisa. The second time you read it, it's for the Shkalim. So Bishlam Alamanda Omar Kitisa. That makes sense. That whole brisa only goes according to the opinion that the reading for Shkalim is Kitisa. In other words, there's two shitas. Either Parshat Shkalim we read Kitisa, or Parshat Shkalim we read Parshat Pinchas. So when the brisa says, if Shkalim falls out on Kitisa, you read Kitisa, and then you go back and you read Kitisa again. Obviously, that brisa sides with whose opinion? Kitisa. So Bishlam Amandam Kitisa. Hainu Demitrame Bahahu Zimna. They happen around the same time. Shkalim falls out around the time of Parshat Kitisa. It could happen. So Lamanda Omar Tzavet Korbani Mi Mitrame. But according to the opinion that, and as the Amora says, we read Parshas Pinchas for Shkalim. We have a brisa that says what? the brisa assumes that it could happen that Shkalim falls out on Parshat Kitisa. So what's the problem?
What would you do in that case? Would you also
You can never have Pinchas fall on Kitisa. You can never have Pinchas fall on Shkalim.
No, for sure.
Right? But you have a brisa that says Parshat Shkalim sometimes comes out on Kitisa.
Right.
What does that say about the Machloket Amorayim about whether we read Kitisa or whether we read the Pinchas? That the Shita that says it's Pinchas has to be wrong. Because you have a brisa that says...
The brisa wouldn't have bothered mentioning this.
Right, you have a brisa that says it comes out near Kitisa. So obviously the sheet that you could be reading Pinchas has to not be correct, because you have an amor against the brisa. So, no, but it could happen. It could happen that Parshas Pinchas comes out for Parshas Shkalim in Adar. How could you be reading Parshas Pinchas in Adar? topic we were discussing not long ago.
I looked, this time I actually did look at it, so I didn't want to say anything.
So in Livnei Ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, where the cycle is completely different. And it's not like that. As we think, you think Parshat Balak, you think summer. In other words, we live in a world where you can tell the weather based upon, do you have a kid's bar mitzvah? I have a kid's bar mitzvah coming up in 2 years from now, Parshas Ekev. Right? So I know we can have an outdoor kiddush. I mean, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, if you live in Atlanta, it might be different. You live in Eretz Yisrael, you know Parshas Ekev, it's good for an outdoor kiddush. Because Ekev always comes out in August. Right? You can be pretty sure it's not going to rain. But that only works according to our system. But in the old days, it was a different system. And depending upon which year it was, it could come out at a different time of the year. The laning was not linked to the seasons. What?
But in the 3 year cycle, we talked about this thing last week. So what did they read each week? They read a third of Parshat Bereishit 1 week, second, third of Parshat. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what it is. They didn't do.
Yeah, you sent around the calendar of what it looked like, and this was in practice. This triennial cycle was not just something from antiquity. When Benjamin of Tudela shows up in Eretz Yisrael in the what is that, the 1200s, he reports that this is when he goes into shul, and he's quite surprised to discover this is how the laning works. Right, and he's after the Rambam. Right, so this was still in practice for a very long time. The Maskele Deraisa Betlatchnin, because they read it over 3 years. So it could be. There is such a shit. We don't need to reject the Parshas Pinchas option. Why? Because there is a shita, right? No matter how minority it is, where it could happen. Right. So this idea that we have a showstopper, we have a monkey wrench to close down the whole idea of Parshas Pinchas as an option, not necessarily.
Except for one thing, but the Braita was written in Eretz Yisrael, wasn't written in Babel. So why wouldn't the Braita have been? Why would the Braita have been talking about the annual cycle instead of the 3 year cycle?
No, because I don't think that. In other words, I don't think that one was the exclusion of the other. I think they were simultaneously 1 year cycles and 2 year cycles.
There were
I think so.
Even the Gemara says Gemara. So it seems to indicate that there was time. Maybe in the Gemara's time was already only 12.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it has to do with the dating. Right. So Tanya Kavasi de Shmuel. So there is an opinion like Shmuel. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechaliot B'Shabbat Korin Kitisa Maftirin B'Yodaya Korin. So how do we resolve at the end? In the end, we have another Brisa that says this is Halacha, which is what we do. All right, we'll stop. We'll stop it.